you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Let's talk about this fishers of men. And of course, we're coming from Matthew 4 and 18, when Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and he began to choose certain ones to follow him. They were all fishermen. Jesus chose fishermen for a reason, because he wanted their natural occupation to illustrate the spiritual occupation that he had for them, or the spiritual call that he had for them, which was for them to be fishers of men. And let's start with this. I've got 10 points that I want to make about the church, and these points are about what God actually intended and what he did not intend for the church. Now, we all know we are the church as individuals. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, according to the scriptures. So we're the temple that God dwells in. God doesn't dwell or desire to dwell in an unclean temple. This is why we keep our temples clean, right? We keep them clean because he's supposed to dwell in us. So we have to keep our temples clean. Now, there is an outward church, of course, a physical church or a physical gathering of people. This started in the book of Acts when God started the first New Testament church, and they all came together. They all were of like mind. They all did different things. So we do know there is a physical church, and we're dealing with the outward church, not the spiritual body church. Okay, so y'all understand the language I'm using when I'm giving these 10 points. It's not about the temple of the Holy Ghost as far as our bodies, but this is about us coming together, formulating a church body. Okay, as we fellowship, it's called a church. There are people that say, well, there's so many problems with the church, let's call it something else. Nah, just because people have done it wrong doesn't make it wrong. Okay, so it's still a church. There's still a pastor. The pastor is still the leader of the church. Well, everybody's messed that up, so let's just have everybody be a pastor. No, that's not the way it was illustrated in the Bible. There's still a pastor. Well, you know, let's all just wear t-shirts and tennis shoes since everybody dresses up. Now, you can look like you want to. You can dress up. There's nothing wrong with dressing up. Just because people have done it wrong doesn't make it wrong. Okay, so let's just not throw the baby out with the bathwater and kill everything just because people have done it wrong. Some things, it's not even that important for you to make a doctrine out of what people should wear when they come into the house of God. All right, so we're talking about these things so we can get a good understanding of God's intent. And these 10 things, the first one, God never intended for the church to agree with the world. Okay? When the world loves it, God hates it. Plain and simple. There is no yoke in the world with the church. John 15 and 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, what? I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. In other words, there's no way you're going to get the world to like you. Any pastor that the world embraces, something is wrong with them spiritually. Okay? The Bible just told me, John just said, if you're of the world, then the world will embrace you. So any pastor that the world embraces is of the world. If he's of the world, the love of the Father is what? Not in him. If the world is in the preacher and the preacher's desire is for fame, Hollywood, celebrities, lights, camera, and action, that's worldly. All that is in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and what? The pride of life. Proud. to look like you've accomplished something. These are things that God hates or despises. Now, when you have those things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, the world will embrace you because you're like them. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But the true pastor or the true church of God is supposed to be disaligned with the world, and the world hate them. Okay? I don't have a problem with people disagreeing with our stand. I don't have a problem with people arguing and not liking what we're doing. They're not supposed to like it. They're not supposed to embrace it if the world is in their heart. If their desire is for carnality, if their desire is to be something, to be famous, to be in the world, to be all these different things, then of course they're not going to like the message we preach, because the message we preach here is, come out from among them, be ye separate, and then I will receive you. Okay, so there has to be a difference between the church and the world, right? Number two, God never intended for the church building to be the fisher. He desires for the people to be fishers of men. So the church is not the big giant fishermen, but the people in the church are supposed to be the fishers of men. If Jesus represents the pastor and the men he chose represents his members, then this shows us that he made those that followed him fishers of men. Mark 1:7, and Jesus said unto them, come after me and I will make you become fishers of men. What am I saying? I'm saying that it's not the responsibility of the church to run off postcards and a pastor to buy a billboard and have his picture on there and rent out buses and put his picture on buses. And, you know, why is the pastor's picture on everything when it comes to bringing people into the church? Why aren't the people the ones responsible for bringing people in? Who are the fishers of men? The image of the pastor? God forbid I put my picture up on a billboard smiling and pointing, come to the church. Why is that drawing people to the church? I should not have my picture drawing anyone to the church. People should be drawn by the Spirit of God. People should be drawn by the people that are a part of it. If I can't empower everyone to go out and be fishers of men, then I'm not a good pastor. Y'all got to be the fisher of men here, because y'all know who will fit. You understand? I'm not dragging the net across Dallas, Fort Worth, and Arlington and just picking up whatever. No, there's people out there that want that in their church. Let them have that. No, this is a training facility. This is for people that want to go out and work for God and do something for God. My job is to lead you to food. That's all a shepherd does with sheep. Doesn't pick the grass up and hand it to the sheep. No, he leads sheep to food. And the babies that are born under a shepherd, they feed from their parents. Yeah, they just get milk from their parents until they're able to eat the grass, right? And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like that now. Y'all that give birth to people and bring people in, y'all can feed them until they're ready to feed from or feed like the rest of them. Number three, God never intended for the musicians of a church to be carnal. The Levites were priests. The musicians are ministers. There is no way a carnal, half-saved musician should ever play music in God's house. Ever. Ever. It did not happen. It wasn't allowed in the Bible. There has to be a set-apart standard involved. Carnality creeps into a church through carnal musicians. Ezekiel said it like this. When God was talking to the Levites, who were the musicians, these are the musicians he was speaking to. He said, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgment. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. Does that sound like musicians now? Musicians now are the worst people in the church, possessed by demons. You look on the stage, it looks like you're looking at Janet Jackson's band. Am I telling the truth? In church, these are supposed to be the priests of the church. When you're playing music in church, what is the name of the position? They always want, I'm the minister of music. Minister, are you a minister? Are you behaving like a minister? Are you looking like a minister? You're the minister of music. The people that make the music, they're the priests of the church. They're preachers. They're prophets. They're musicians. They're supposed to prophesy on their instruments. Y'all, we can't take this lightly. We can't just throw some guys up there. That's why the majority of them nowadays are homosexual. Because the devil knows I can kill this church real quick by putting a sissy up there on the keyboard. It will never be what God wants it to be. Totally disabled. You might as well just take the church logo and make it a handicap sign. Because the church is disabled. Right? God's power is disabled. No longer in operation. Because God is not going to operate through that scenario. God will not honor that. But that is what many men are doing. They are not understanding the position of the musician. The musician is a minister. That is a priest. I would rather have the silence. Y'all hear? Yeah, I don't hear nothing, do you? You don't hear nothing? I don't hear no music playing. Y'all hear music? I'd rather have this silence every Sunday than have sinful musicians. Because that creates a struggle with the pastor. If he said it right here in Ezekiel that the musicians are the ones that are supposed to make the difference between the holy and the profane, or the sacred and the profane. It's the musicians that make that difference. And if you got a bunch of carnal musicians that coming in church on Sunday after they done played for Prince on Saturday, then they're not making a difference between the holy and the profane. And I've had musicians tell me, well, I'm not a Levite. Then you're not a musician for the church. You need to go play in the club. All musicians ain't Levites. Yep, the ones that aren't Levites are the ones that aren't a part of the household of faith. You just told me you need to go play for Lil Wayne. Yeah, if you're not a Levite, you're automatically not qualified to play in the house of God. Period. Because the Levitical priesthood, they are called and set apart for service in the house of God. If you're called and set apart for service, that means your life has to be called and set apart. Sanctified unto God. Y'all with me? Number four, God never intended for the church to be a place for sinners. Why is the church fashioning itself to make sinners comfortable? For the singles that's struggling in their sexuality, we gonna play all the single ladies to welcome them in. You know, just they have all of these things that cater to the sinners. Now, for all y'all that went to Maxwell's concert last night, you know, we're going to sing a praise and worship song. It's Maxwell's song, but we're going to change the words to make it talk about the Lord instead of make everybody feel comfortable. No, the church is not for sinners. Look at somebody say that. The church is not for sinners. I need you to confess that out of your mouth. You need to say that. Church is not for sinners. The sinners have the club. They have the strip club, the booty club. They have the bar. They have, I mean, they got everything, all the concerts, but sinners have all, they have all the places they want to go. Church is not one of them. The church is for the saints. This is our place. Church is for the saints. Can we have fun? Can we have somewhere to go, please? Without being infiltrated by Satan? God set up the church different from the world, set it apart from the world, sanctified it holy unto him. Upon this rock, Peter, that thou art the Christ. That means upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will what? Not join. That's what he's saying. It will not prevail. In other words, you will not join the house of God. A sinner. No way. You don't belong here. Sinners should never feel comfortable in the house when truth is being preached. If the truth is being preached, then how can the lie feel comfortable? How can somebody that's living a lie even feel good when the truth is being preached? The gospel will always do one of two things, always. Make folks leave or convict folks to repentance. Bottom line, that's what it's going to do. Acts said, and the multitude of them, this is the first church. This is when the church was growing by leaps and bounds. Thousands were added every day. It said, and the multitude of them, this first New Testament church that believed, were of what? One heart and of what? One what? Soul. That means they were all saved. It's saying they were all of one heart and one mind is what it's saying. That means they were all saved. They had all things what? In common. What do Christians have in common with sinners? You shouldn't have nothing in common. You know what sanctified is? Sanctification means set apart. So we are to be a different kind of people. Just different. peculiar according to the word of God. We're just different. We just roll differently. We think differently. Nah, man, I can't go there, man, because, you know, I'm saved. I just don't do that. I'm just not like that. Go, man, hit this weed with me. I can't smoke weed, brother. I'm saved. Come on, man, just bow down and worship this little idol of Cali with me. Come on, man. Just one time, man. Come on, man. She ain't going to grab you. You know, I can't worship Cali, dude. I'm saved. You know what I'm saying? Look at somebody say there has to be a difference. And the difference is made right here. This is where the difference is made. You come in here, you're going to be like us. If you're not going to be like us, you can't come here. So y'all don't be inviting all riffraff to come here. What you doing that for? Somebody that he ain't going to get saved. He don't want to be saved, but he want to meet his church quota. Come on, Brother John, y'all. He's 60 years old, and he done slept with all of the choir, but God is still working on him. Just killing every church he go to, just ending it. When he leave, the church is just over. He going to go in and find everybody struggling and invite them to his house. You know, it's people like that. But we don't want that. We want people that we know are going to try to live this thing. If I got to live it, you got to look at somebody and say, if I got to live it, you got to live it. If I got to live it, you got to live it. Number five, God never intended for the pastor to be the only one exercising his power. Oh, wow. The only one that's got any kind of power can do anything. Everybody else just demon manifests. All the chairs just move. Everybody just out the way. Nobody can handle it. No, God never intended for that. That is not what Jesus did. The people of the ministry should have the same power and be able to pray with those they win to Christ. Did y'all just hear me? You don't bring somebody to church so that they can be one to Christ. You win them to Christ before they come to church. You don't bring them to church so they can get saved. It's Tuesday and they come to you. I need to be saved. I just don't think I'm going to make it the rest of this week. Well, man, Sunday at 1 o'clock, you know, we're going to be meeting. He just said he might not make it to Sunday. Well, you go to this website and you can download one of his sermons. I mean, you don't have nothing to say. I would win you to Christ, but you know, my salvation is kind of, you know, it's kind of shaky itself. So I don't know if. Come on, y'all. That's not the pastor's responsibility. Everybody, come on now. Pastor's responsibility is to make fishers of men, just like Jesus did. If you're going to be fishers of men, you got to know the bait, the hook, everything. You got to know when to cast, when to drop the net, when to pull it up. That's what fishermen know. Right? And you got to know how to do all of that to be a fisherman. That's the pastor's job. Teach you how to do it. But once you know how to do it, you need to do it. Amen? Those you bring in, you should be responsible for. Did y'all just hear that? I know pastors that try to go and pray for all the sick at the church. I mean, where you going at? Well, at 1 o'clock, I got to go to Baylor Hospital. At 2 o'clock, I got to go to Parkland. And at 3 o'clock, I got to go, you know, just got to go pray for everybody. I was like, how many members you got again? Nobody in your church can pray for the sick. They can't pray for their own family members. Pastor, our mama is sick and we want you to come and pray for her. I'm out of town. Well, can we get you on Skype? Like, you can't pray for your mama? Yeah, but something special happened when you pray. Is it the same anointed? I mean, is it the same Jesus? That's why these pastors on blood pressure medication. Because they can't, a human being can't handle that from dealing with a bunch of folks that don't know how to deal with anything. It's not going to be like that around here, y'all. We got to be responsible. Those you bring in, you should be responsible for. You should be responsible for leading them to Christ. You should be responsible for making sure they're getting the message, making sure they're here if they're coming. Where is Sister So-and-so? Oh, well, Sister So-and-so been bringing her. Have you talked to her? Yeah, I called her to check on her. Whatever. I mean, it don't have to be a board of people and somebody assigned to call the folks that don't show up. You brought them. You're responsible for them. You brought them in. You're responsible for them. You call them. You got them in your cell phone. Why do I need to call them? Pastor, she just won't come no more. You need to talk to her. She probably don't want to come. She don't want to come, then she don't need to come. God can meet her where she is. She don't have to find God here. I've been trying to get her to come, and she just won't get saved. Then go to somebody that will get saved. Can I tell the truth in here? If they are absent, in need, or backslidden, we are responsible for each other. John said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus was speaking to those he called and said, y'all going to be even better than me. Y'all going to do greater things than I did. When you are called of God unto salvation, you are required to fulfill the Great Commission. This is not just for preachers and pastors and evangelists and teachers and prophets. This is for all of us, because the pastor, the evangelist, the prophet, the teacher, and the preacher, they're all a part of the church. So we're all capable of operating in certain areas and certain callings while we are here. And we are to bring people in and correctly minister to these people. As you can see, this is not a place for carnal Christians. Why would you be a carnal Christian up in the house of God? A carnal Christian belongs at home, because all you're going to do, remember the old saying, one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. You're going to mess it up for everybody. You're going to be the one to let the devil in. And we're trying to fight against the devil. Number six, God never intended for church to be a place to meet a personal quota. Going to church because you are supposed to go to church is not right. We should come to church so that we can fellowship with like-minded believers and get trained properly to evangelize our personal lives. That's what church is for. Church is so you can take church home and evangelize your personal lives, your job, your family, your neighborhood, whatever. Haven't you noticed that whenever you're in a place where the word of God is going forth the way it's supposed to, it empowers you and you feel better about preaching to other people? You know what I'm saying? You feel stronger when you talk to people. You feel informed. You're not looking for words and all that. But if you're not getting the proper nourishment, you don't know what to tell people. You know what I'm saying? It makes a difference. It makes a big difference. We will always get from church what we put into church. This number seven, God never intended for church to be a place where you prove folks wrong and yourself right. We shouldn't invite people and skeptics to church just so they can be convinced, but so they can be convicted. If they do not possess a true heart of repentance, then we cannot convince them to change. There must be conviction there. You know when someone is convicted unto God. God never intended, number eight, God never intended for church to be about the building. Church is about God's presence and how he relates to his people. We should always be focused on getting the Spirit of God into the place and not just people into the place. Did y'all hear that? Attracting people to church because we want members is a bad idea. That's when you get a church full of riffraff. You get what happens is you get a church full of riffraff and carnality. The carnal folks give the most money. You go build a building, and now you're dependent upon the carnal folks' money to keep the building running. So then you got to edit the message, change what you're preaching, just so the carnal folks will be comfortable, because they're the ones giving. You just set yourself up, and now you're just like everything else that's out there. There's no difference, because people have built their churches around carnal people, people that will not denounce their lifestyle, will not denounce the devil, will not get themselves right, but they give a lot. So it changes what the pastor preaches. Now he got to go to 6 and 7 services on a Sunday, but he can't preach about nothing. Y'all know people like that? I know people like that. I mean, I know guys all across the country, 3-4 services on a Sunday and ain't said nothing. You add them all up and you don't have 10 minutes of Jesus. But all them services. I don't know what you went through this week, but look at your neighbor and say, it's over now. It's over now. And folks just, it's over now. Because they've been hellish all week. It's over now. And then come Monday, hell just opens its gates again. And they started all over again. Then that Sunday, 5 services of the same message. I don't know what you're going through, baby, honey, sugar, dumpling, lamb. I know it's been rough. I know it's been tough, but slap your neighbor and say, I'm coming out, I'm coming out, I'm coming out, I'm coming out. And folks coming back for more. That's because I keep telling y'all, it's the people that selected that preacher. You know people go hear what they want to hear. Did you know that? Sunday is all about choice. Folks might try to lie, God led me. No, you're there because that's what you want to hear. We don't just want members, y'all. Okay? So we're not just having cake sales, bake sales, and a jump house in front of the building just to try to attract people. They walk by, ooh, look at that fun house. Hey,
You thought it was a fun house, but it's really God's house. Why don't you come to our service on Sunday? Are we going to be able to bounce on Sunday? Yeah, but instead of just bouncing on air, we're going to be bouncing on the word. See, this bounce house, this represents the foundation of the word. And if you jump on the word, you go high, high. It's because God is most high. Somebody is preaching that right now. Y'all laughing. Somebody is preaching that. Somebody had to bounce house yesterday, and they preaching that right now. But that's what I'm saying. So we're not just trying to, you know, I smell chicken. Where's all that chicken coming from? Somebody driving with their windows down. They just drive up to the chicken. You came for the chicken, but this is a church, and you came for the natural food. We going to give you some spiritual food. Won't you come to service tomorrow? You know what I'm saying? We're not just trying to attract people with the smell of chicken and a bounce house. Man, you just started your church like 2 weeks ago. You done had 5 carnivals. Man, what you doing? You use all the church money on carnivals. Carnivals and cornmeal. All the money of the church, just cornmeal and grease. Everybody church big. Because all you attracted was fried chicken eaters. Number 9. God never intended for his church to be silent on issues that conflict with his word. Did y'all just hear me? We as the church ought to be vocal and stand firm on the truth no matter who it offends. We do not compromise under any circumstance. Never. We don't back down on the word of God for any circumstance. And we also watch for subtle compromise. No matter who it is, we must challenge them if they are contrary to God's word. Y'all understand what I'm saying? When you argue the word, you're not arguing you. So that means that you can confront anyone with the word of God because you're not arguing you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You're arguing the word of God. Hey, the word says this, brother, and you saying something else. I just want to know. The word said this. They got to come correct. Oh, you can't talk to me like that. I'm the right reverend, most highest diocese, the greatest cardinal of all times. You can't come to me. Yes, I can, because you're wrong about this word. Now, I'm not rebuking you openly. The Bible says you don't rebuke an elder, so there's a way to do it. You don't stand up while he's preaching. Wait a minute, sir. My Bible doesn't say that. No, that's his church. You just get up and leave. That's the way you show your displeasure with it. I don't understand. You know, people call me all the time. Oh, I went to this church. Or, oh, my church, this and that. Leave. Why don't you leave? You don't know how to leave? I mean, one gay musician after another. One gay gospel artist after another. And I just don't know what to do. How about leaving? Yeah, leave. Why are you in there praying against stuff? And I go in and I just anoint the whole building when nobody's in there. I remember one church, a friend of mine was playing for, he slipped off the organ. There was so much oil on the organ. I mean, he got on there and just slipped out. Plop, he's like, man, what? Somebody had just poured oil all over the organ. This is a true story. It was poured it all over there. He just slipped off the organ on a Sunday morning because it was so greasy. Somebody trying to pray. You know, you don't do that. You just leave. If you don't like the people he playing for and you don't like the decision the pastor made to hire him, it's time for you to go. That's just the way it is. Don't be in there trying to cause mutiny and start up stuff. And no, God put me here to make sure things change. Number 10. God never intended for his church to be afraid of persecution. Persecution will come, but great is the reward if we stand strong and never bow down to Baal. We are not afraid of the terror by night, according to Psalms 91, as long as we abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.